Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Saturdays podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
I just want to pray real quick. Before worship started, Kat had a word to open up our front doors. Just leave them wide open. And Father, we just want to welcome your presence in here. This doors are open. They're just open. Just come in here and just flood this place, Lord. And the doors are open and welcoming. And they welcome all those who need to be here and all those that want to be here, to be in that presence. And that when they step through those doors, this heaven just touches them in every way, Father. Just thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you know, one thing I just love about being here is that sense that we're a very presence-seeking group of people. And, I know we're not the only ones that do it, but maybe I'm just a little partial because I like the way we do it. So a question actually came to my heart this week while I was just preparing for this. And, you know, a lot lately we've been talking about his presence and his purpose for us and really seeking in that thing. And the question that came to me was what if his presence is our purpose? That's why we're here, is to be in his presence. So I just want you to tuck that away for a little bit. We're going to come back to that. We're going to get there in a little bit of a roundabout way. I think that's probably usually how I do things. But I want to start in John 1, 14. We're going to stay in John for just a little bit. So John 1, 14 says, "And the Word, Christ, became flesh and lived among us, and we actually saw his glory. Glory as belongs to the one and only begotten Son of the Father, the Son who is truly unique, the only one of his kind, who is full of grace and truth, absolutely free of deception." It says that Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. And if we backtrack a little bit, just a couple verses to John 1 and 2, it says, "In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. He was continually existing in the beginning with God." So, you know, the question that it says, God, you know, Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. That Word is the Torah. The Torah was the Word of God that they preached on, and in the scriptures they would teach out of the Torah. And, you know, in our language, we get our translation of Torah from the Greek language, which means law. Sometimes that word law doesn't really sit too well with us, but the more accurate meaning for that is instruction. So God gave instructions to his people. And reading it in the Bible, there's five reasons that God gave this Torah, these instructions to his people. And the first one is to be a blessing to his people, for their own good, to reveal himself to them, to set them apart in order to reveal himself to others, and to reveal humanity's need for a savior. You know, the Torah, you know, when we read a lot of that law and that Torah, we made that blessing that it was supposed to be into a curse. You know, and it was never meant to be that way. It was never meant to bring any kind of guilt or judgment or shame or anything that on his people. It was really given to give and reveal the heart of God for his children. And says that to set these people apart because they were special to him, because they accepted him and they loved him. And, you know, the heart of God is just love in its existence. And says, you know, love itself just existed in the beginning. So the Torah came from the heart of God, the love of God for his children. And, you know, all that he wanted to do was to reveal that to his children. It says that, you know, he just wants to reveal himself to those chosen people. The Torah reveals all the things also that Jesus accomplished on the cross. You know, he is the Word, right down to those sacrifices and to those offerings that they had to make for whatever reasons that they were supposed to make them. And there's like a huge list of all these laws. So, you know, as I was doing some study and stuff like that, it was there was offerings for this and there's offerings for that and there's different reasonings, and it was very detailed. And you know, he loved that Jesus was that perfect image of that Word made flesh. And he is that perfect example that we get to follow and that we strive to look like. And you know, Jesus died on that cross so we can experience that same life that he has. You know, he became love and showed us how God's love, his Torah, was to bless his children, and that how the Torah was for our own good. And just to reveal the Father to us. And in John 5, 19 and 20, it says, "So Jesus answered them by saying, 'I assure you and most solemnly say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever things the Father does, the Son in his turn also does in the same way. For the Father dearly loves the Son and shows him everything that he himself is doing, and the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will be filled with wonder.'" You know, how many of us know that God's never going to ask us to do something that he's not already doing for us? Right? And, you know, God's not a God of "do as I say, not as I do." He's a God of "do as I do because you're mine. And this is how it looks like to be my children." So if we jump up to 1 John 4:8, it says, "The one who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him. For God is love. He is the originator of love, and it is an enduring attribute of his nature. God revealed how he was loving his children through that Torah and through Jesus." I'm kind of making the point that the two are one. And you know, the Ten Commandments, there's 10 commandments that they were given, and 613 laws. And it takes all of that to see and to understand how God loves us. It was just intended for his children to understand that magnitude of the love that God has for us, and that there's no way that they were really supposed to ever do it on their own. And it was so specific with the things like the offerings and sacrifices and all those things, because that's just what it looks like. It looks, you know, this is what God is doing. And in order to be so holy and so righteous like he is, it's completely, you know, unattainable in our human flesh. So that's why we need him. And you know, Jesus came to free us from those sacrifices and from those things that took our mind off of the blessing part of it. You know, he came and just got rid of all of that stuff, and what we're left with is the heart of God. To know him, to be loved by him, you know, to be his children, and to just show the world who he is. You know, he wants us to just, you know, be our purpose. That be why we're here, is just to be his children. And we're not supposed to really strive to accomplish the Torah at all. You know, we're not supposed to really strive and you know, bring it to a point, you know, if we want to look like Jesus and we want to just love like he does and make it a point to try to do that on our own, it kind of brings us and takes us, you know, our focus off of what's really important, and it's to be loved by him first. And In Jeremiah 31:33, I read the Amplified Version. It says that, "But this is the covenant which I make with you, with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." And the same in Hebrews 10:16, it says, "And the Holy Spirit also adds his testimony to us," "for after having said, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will imprint my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will inscribe them." He then says, in verse 17, "And their sins and their lawless acts I will remember no more." Now, where there is absolute forgiveness and complete cancellation of the penalty of these things, we are no longer any offering, there is no longer any offering to be made to atone for sin. You know, we have the Torah right now written on our hearts. So it's not something that we have to strive for. It's something that we are. It's something that's already part of who we are. We've been restored back to the original intent of the Torah, and that's for God to love us and to bless us. You know, for him to reveal himself to us, to set us apart and be his special people. You know, and just be his and his alone. To reveal himself to us so we can show the world what he looks like and who he is, and to reveal our need for him. We can live in this full communion with God in every situation. We can become the love that he pours out on us and love others in the same way. We can love others through their sickness. You know, if they're going through some stuff in their, in you know, if they have depression, anxieties, any kind of sicknesses or diseases or just bad situations, we can love them through these situations into the arms of the Father. There's a song that I was practicing with Donna, actually, I guess about a week or so ago. And the bridge in this song is just something that really touches my heart. It says, "You came running down my prodigal road. You came running with a ring and a robe. Grace is the collision on the way back home to the arms of a father who won't let go." You know, that's the heart of God. To run where we are and to love us despite of those shortcomings and situations that we're going through. And as I was preparing for, you know, this message, there's two scriptures that were very common when I was, you know, seeking the stuff about the Torah. And there's two scriptures, one in Deuteronomy and one in Leviticus. And they actually can both be found in Matthew. So Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40, it says, "Jesus said to him, 'You shall love your God, the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" So the scripture in Deuteronomy is in chapter 6, verses 4 to 6. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." And the second part of Matthew was in Leviticus 19, verse 18. It says, "You shall not take revenge nor bear any judge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself, for I am the Lord." The Torah, it's really just all about love. It's all about instructing us how to love and how our hearts to be positioned to love properly. You know, he loves us and what it looks like to become love. One of the key things to Deuteronomy 6, that when I read that, is, you know, to love your neighbor as yourself. But in order to love your neighbor, you also have to know his love for you. And one of my favorite scriptures that really just shows that love is actually Psalm 139. And if it's all right with you guys, I'm just going to read the whole thing. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. It says, "Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You perceive every moment of my heart and soul, and you understand every thought before it even enters my mind. You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book, and you know all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. You know every step that I will take before my journey even begins. You've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness, you follow me behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. You have laid your hands on me. This is just too wonderful, deep, and incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings me wonder and strength. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I run and hide from your face? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the realm of the dead, you're there too. If I fly with wings into the shining dawn, you're there. If I fly into the radiant sunset, you're there waiting. Wherever I go, your hand will guide me. Your strength will empower me. It's impossible to disappear from you or to ask the darkness to hide me, for your presence is everywhere, bringing light into my night. There's no such thing as darkness with you. The night to you is just as bright as the day. There's no difference between the two. You form my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them all together in my mother's womb. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it, how thoroughly you know me, Lord. You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in this secret place. Carefully, skillfully, you shaped me from nothing to something. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before I'd even seen the light of day, the number of my days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. Every single moment you were thinking of me, how precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in every thought. Oh God, your desires towards me are more than the grains of the sand on the seashore. When I wake every morning, you're still with me. Oh God, come and slay these bloodthirsty, murderous men. Just took a U-turn there a little bit. For I cry out, depart from me, you wicked ones. See how they blaspheme your sacred name and lift up themselves against me, or against you, but all in vain. Lord, you can't see how I despise those who despise you. For I grieve when I see them rise up against you. I have nothing but complete hatred and disgust for them. Your enemies shall be my enemies. God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test and sift through all my anxious cares. See if there is any path of pain I'm walking on, and lead me back to your glorious, everlasting way, the path that brings me back to you." So we'll get back to the question that I asked earlier of what if our purpose is just to be in his presence. This is something that's given me a different perspective on it. That I found in Ephesians 1, verse 3. It says, "Blessed and worthy of praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. Just as in love, he chose us in Christ, actually selected us for himself as his own, before the foundation of the world, so that we would be holy, that is consecrated, set apart for him, purpose-driven, and blameless in his sight, in love. He predestined and lovingly planned us to be adopted to himself as his own children through Christ Jesus Christ in accordance with the kind intention and good pleasure of his will, to praise of his glorious grace and favor which he so freely bestowed on us in the beloved, his son Jesus Christ. It says that that he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. You know, our purpose is right there. Our purpose is just simply to be his, to be his creation. It's just to be loved by him and to love him. That first commandment, being in that presence, being, you know, in his presence of just mercy and grace and just this love that is so incomprehensible, as the psalm says. And the second part is to love your neighbors as yourself. You know, that's our journey. So we have a purpose that we're supposed to love, the first commandment that Jesus gave in Matthew is to love God, to be loved by him. And there's purpose there. And then it says, and the second one is like it. It says, and to love your neighbors as yourself. That's our journey. And I think that sometimes that when we become purpose driven, we make the journey our purpose. And it takes our focus off of our real purpose, which is just being his and being loved by him. You know, when we seek his presence, you know, that the rest of that stuff will just come into play, because it's just out of relationship with him that this journey begins. And, you know, he loves us all equally and he loves us all the same, but our journeys are all going to be different. And sometimes they're going to intertwine with one another, and sometimes, you know, you'll be off 1,000 miles away from here. You know, what comes from our purpose of loving him and being loved by him is just different than, you know, between us. But it's all to reveal him no matter where we go. It's, you know, I think that, you know, when we get so focused on that journey part of our of why we were created, it could just kind of take our focus off of that main thing, just to be in his presence, which, you know, as a church here, we're so so focused on that. You know, you can't seek a healing without seeking the healer. You know, so you can't seek what you feel your purpose is or your journey is without the creator of it. I just want to close with this. If you want to know the heart of God and experience his presence, and that purpose, that created purpose in loving him, you know, it's in Jesus. It's in the Word of God. It's in that Torah. And in order to walk in his purpose for our lives, it's found in those two commandments. It's to love him, to love our neighbors, and be that love. And when we have that relationship with God, everything else that we desire in our hearts will happen without even trying to strive for it or try to accomplish it. You know, when our hearts collide with his, that's when heaven comes to earth. That's when he's revealed in who he is and his true nature. Amen? All right. So I'll pray for you guys, and then we just sit in the presence. So, Father, I just thank you. I thank you for being a Father that knows everything about us, not only knows it, wants to know it, wants to be there, wants to be the one that we come to in every situation, every circumstance, the ones that, you know, we want to love you because you loved us first. I just thank you that life doesn't have to be a struggle in any circumstance, because you're there in it and you're a blessing. So we honor you with all the things that we do, God, and we just ask for your presence to touch us in just deeper ways this week and going forth from here today, that, you know, the things that we're struggling with, that you just show us where you are and what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania. I'm taking away. I'm taking away.